Okay, so we're talking about mindset, which is absolutely the number one factor for success, is mindset. And you can find this anywhere, and you go anywhere on the internet, and you look anywhere of people who are massively successful, and virtually every single one of them will tell you mindset made all the difference for them. And this gal who wrote this article that I'm summarizing here today really incorporates a lot of that same information. It's Karima Mariama Arthur, and she said the single most important factor influencing a person's success, whether personal or professional, is mindset. What you think about consistently has a direct impact on your behavior, and not the other way around. So it's important to get this fundamental ingredient right. And this is also a biblical principle. I'm not going to get in that, but it's sound. What we do with our mind is so critical in terms of us leading the life that we so desire. And independent of every other aspect of your life, you know, I look back at my life and, you know, my whole family were all like Phi Beta Kappa, order of the Koi, graduated top of the class. They all incredibly intelligent, but how many of us were successful in the group? 1 out of 4. Rationale being that I did so much work on me to help myself. Intelligence wasn't enough. We know a lot of broke, intelligent people in this world. So how do we achieve success? And not that we define success as having a ton of money, but success in terms of our dreams come true, our goals come true, we meet our things. And it really, you know, my breakthroughs, most of the breakthroughs came through doing a lot of Clemmer work, and some of you are familiar with that. That's where Sona was, and I did a lot of his work in my late 30s, and it was remarkable, the shift in myself. So mindset perhaps is the most important distinction between those who succeed and those who do not. If you're serious about achieving success, again, you want to be able to master your mind, because what we think and what is in our subconscious really controls us. And we need to understand that the mind is made up of 3 segments. Most people think that our mind is just what's in our head. In other words, what I'm thinking today, that's my mind. When in fact, we have what we call the conscious mind, and that's what you're thinking about when you think what's ever in your head. That's where you have your feelings and your decision-making. All occurs in the mind as you know it. But there's something that is called the subconscious mind, which is the second tier, kind of like if you built a snowman. I think I gave you a picture of that on the outline today. That second category called the subconscious is really phenomenally impactful on you every single day. It's where we store every event, every fact in our life, and then we also store in there the meanings that we gave it. So if something happened to you in life and you gave it a meaning, and sometimes you give things meanings that you don't even realize that you gave to them. We don't even realize it because it happened when we were 4 or 5 or 6 or 8 or 10. When our impressionable years, those first 18 years, are critical in how that subconscious is formed, but it doesn't mean that we're stuck in it. We are if we never recognize it. We are if we never go back to relearn and to figure out, uncover. That's what I call, I have a course I teach that's uncover, discover, and recover, right? We uncover, we discover, and then we recover from what we've got planted inside of our mindset that is controlling our lives. And I had massive amount of things like that. I'll just share with you one. This tells you kind of the conscious, subconscious, super, and superconscious is our faith, because we all believe there's something greater than all of us out there, right? That is controlling. And I call it's called the superconscious. And it's what are your spiritual beliefs? Where are you in terms of believing in that there's a greater being in us, within us, and within this world? But the subconscious is that part of it that we have control over, but most of us don't even realize it exists. I didn't. As bright as I was, as many degrees as I had, and as, you know, up and down in my successful path, I didn't realize the existence of the subconscious until I was in my 30s. And that's pretty crazy. But it's a lot of us. Who's going to tell us about that unless we go get some specific training? And people get leery and worried about, you know, working on their minds. They go, oh, I don't want somebody messing with my mind, blah, 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 blah. And it's like, oh, my gosh. you, I promise you, you do, because we carry things. And here's, I'll just share with you one of mine just to give you some, you know, and I, there are plenty of them, but this was one that knocked me out of the park. When I was born and raised in a family of four kids, I was fourth born. So there are three that were older than I were, and we were all born within 3.5 years. So talk about tight. No twins or triplets, right? My parents got married. My mom was 30. My dad was 28, and so they got married quite old for that time. My mom was born in 1920, so that was unusual to be get married at 30. But anyway, so they have four kids in 3.5 years, and I came out last, and we were very poor. And I discovered in doing mindset work that the fact that I was fourth born, I was a baby, caused me to draw a meaning that that meant I needed to compete. Fourth born, poor family, I needed to compete or I would never get anything. So Mary Jo, for the first 30-some years of her life, I had to win at everything. You probably have met people like that. You play a game of racquetball with them, and if they, you could be their best friend, and if they lost, they wouldn't talk to you for a week because they were so bloody competitive. It's almost like you could hardly stand to be around them. Did competitive, you know, reward me in many ways? Yeah, I was always president of class, president of student council. I played competitive basketball. I played college level. I was on the basketball team pre-Title IX at the University of Wisconsin. So because I was so competitive, I love sports, and I had to win. But the problem was when you have that in your nature of who you are, thinking, you know, people would say, Mary Jo, why are you so competitive? And I would just say, well, I was born that way. I didn't know anything else except that that was my nature. I just thought that was part of my human nature. I had no clue I was at choice. No clue. So here I was living this life of competitive. You know, that caused me not to have the depth of relationships I potentially could, because if you always have to win, do you think people want to associate with you at any deep level? No, because you always have to win. You always have to be in a marriage. What does it look like in a marriage? You always have to be right. So my first marriage lasted about 2 years, a year and a half. I always had to be right. So this was consistently playing this role in my life, and people would say, oh, why are you so competitive? I was born that way, blah, blah. And then I went through some self-development work and discovered the existence of the subconscious. And when I did my digging about all the facts in my life on a sheet of paper, starting from when I was born, everything I could remember, and I was writing down fourth born of four kids, da, 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 da. And then I had to go back and say, what did you make that mean? And I go, what do you mean, what did I make it mean? And I was like dumbfounded by the whole experience. But I had to just sit there and be quiet. It was a time of like an hour of just contemplation in our course. And so I had to keep thinking, okay, so what did I make it mean that I was fourth born of four kids? And all of a sudden, I had to compete, came out. And, you know, at 30-some years old, I just like almost lost it. That how could I have been so stupid so long in my life to not have known this? And now I've been in a 28-year marriage. I love to go, you know, I still like to compete, but you know what? If you beat me, I'm exhilarant. I'll go out to dinner. I'll take you out, buy you a beer, whatever you want. But, I mean, it's like, that's great. I don't mind. I would rather win than lose, but I don't have to win. I'm not going to be sweating bullets and being ridiculously crazy on the, but it, because, you know, that doesn't serve me. And it's not a truth. It's something I made up at 4 or 5, realize I did. So do you understand how we program our subconscious? We program these things. We take facts and make them mean something. Here's another classic one out there for a lot of people. Did you ever do something that you failed at? And a lot of you might be doing this today, even in your businesses. You might be going, oh, I tried to talk to people and talk to some chiropractors about the products, and I failed, so I give up. You start labeling yourself, this doesn't work. It's not that it doesn't work. The problem is that we make the fact that it didn't work once or twice or three, whatever, and we make it mean that it doesn't work. Notice fact, meaning. And we store these things. So they shut us down from experience the greatness within us that we really have, the untold greatness. And it's one of the most crucial areas of how we short-circuit the success we want in our life. So subconscious thinking is really to understand it and then to go out and work with it. And that's why I love self-development work so much, and I love to teach and train it, and I have courses on this. I love because I see the experience in my own life, and I could go through many more that just brought up the competitive one to show you how simple it is at 4 or 5 years old to have been programmed. I'll throw one more at all of you, so you just take this one home to the bank, too. When you were growing up as a kid, did your parents tell you money doesn't grow on trees? Absolutely. A Depression-era concept that came out because of the Depression, our grandparents told our parents then told us, we probably went on to tell our children. But when you have the conscious thinking from your subconscious that money doesn't grow on trees, what does that make you believe? Money is scarce. That's what it says. Money doesn't grow on trees, that means it's scarce. So we have this relationship with money around being scarce. So we're afraid of investing it. We're afraid of going in the stock market. We're afraid of buying real estate. We hoard it. We penny pinch. We do all sorts of crazy stuff around money. It destroys our relationship with money. I guarantee you there's not one off-the-charts wealthy person that has a scarcity relationship with money. And it wasn't after they got their wealth that they established it, a growth mindset around money, unlimited. They established it before. That's what caused them to be the attractor factor. So I love telling the story because when I raised my two stepdaughters, I said, money grows on every tree. You just have to figure out how to harvest it. That's what I trained them. That's the truth. There's not a limitation of money in this world. We put the limitation on based on how we've been programmed by our parents about money doesn't grow on trees. And my two stepdaughters, one of them is in her, she just turned 40, how old am I? Okay, 45. She just turned 45, and she's a multimillionaire with her husband in the real estate business. They own Century 21 in Georgetown, Texas, and they got out of the mission field, and I said, what do you want to do? And they chose to do real estate, and so kind of get them set up with the Georgetown, and Georgetown's been the fastest growing city in Texas for the last 15 years, and they also became investors in real estate at the same time. And my youngest stepdaughter, who's 36 years old now, she dropped out of college and chose to be a midwife, right? She went into a doula and then midwife. She's the number one midwifery business in all of Dallas and Fort Worth today. Again, a multimillionaire, 37 years old. Notice the relationship with money. If you don't have that open relationship of money being everywhere, just figure out how to harvest it, but instead thinking of it as scarcity, you're going to create that result in your life. So how important, I just give those as examples of facts, meanings. We hear things, we're told things, we pick them up, we absorb them, and we store them in our subconscious. Unless you reprogram that subconscious, you will carry those limiting beliefs with you for a long time. So that's the power of the subconscious. And it's overwhelming. And most of the people in the world don't know what they don't know. Right? They're stuck in that realm. And that's why I love teaching that. In order to develop a healthy self-esteem, you must control your mindset. Right? If you want to believe in yourself, critical for us to accomplish almost anything. If you believe you can or believe you can't, you're always going to be right. So if you stay stuck in that, you're going to be right. If you believe you can't, guess what? You won't. So a lot of times we go out there and doing our business and we go, oh, I can't do that. And I said, well, guess what? You're right. Somebody else right next to you goes, I can do that. I said, guess what? You're right. So how easy is it to be able to accomplish things if you just start believing in yourself? Night and day. Night and day. Makes all the difference in the world. Your belief is the most powerful, that subconscious, the believing in yourself. Okay, critical to accomplish anything that you want. To successfully accomplish any worthwhile, a person has to feel capable of achieving it. So, again, we look at what we do in our businesses. Are you standing up strong to believing in yourself? And some of you, you know, I hear it all the time. People go, well, that didn't work for me before this, and I go, great, so does that mean it never works? Let me give you 500 examples of how it's worked for other people. Well, but I'm not those other people. I said, what makes you different? Well, you know, it's really what makes you different is your mindset. It's not about we're born on the right side of the tracks. It's not about who your parents were. It's not about, you know, your color hair, your color eyes, you know, whether you did well in school or not. I mean, all of these things, don't matter. There are multi-billionaires out there that didn't graduate from high school. Do you get this? How did they make it? Oh, Mary Jo, they were lucky. No. People with proper mindsets, they create their own quote-unquote luck. But it starts with that internal belief, I can do anything. Anything is achievable. And it doesn't matter how old you are or how young you are. It's like, start now. Start working on that mindset, your mindset. It frames our viewpoint of ourself, our self-esteem, all of that, self-worth. And some of us need to do some, you know, what I like to work on is digging out the stuff that's stored inside you that's holding you back, because you have, it's like, all the gunk you create. Like, if let's say you have a brand new car and you drive it for 10 years and you never have an oil change, what do you think the oil looks like in your car? It's going to be like sludge. Is it going to help your car function? No, it's going to destroy. That's like what's going on in our mindset. You're full of sludge. You've been collecting all this stuff, and you you may never have known that it's even collecting there. You've written yourself off of being incapable in A, B, C, D, and F, but you've done it to self. No one did it to you. It's your experiences in life that you've made mean something that you're carrying forward, and now you're one, that dialogue. We need to change that self-dialogue. We uncover, discover, recover. Got it? Uncover, discover, recover. Three steps. Uncover, because you have to figure out what it is, and we have mechanisms to do that. Then discover and recover from it. What we feed our mind and others feed it, that we accept because we're too young to take issue with it, right? We don't know any better. That's our youth, for the most part, as we're raised from kids. Your parents do more programming of you than probably any other impact in your life, unless it's maybe a spouse. Emotional charged people in your life are ones that have the greatest impact on you because you have some emotional connection with them. You have a reason to believe them. And our self-image is created inside us, and then we reflect it in everything we do and say. So I love to work with people that come to me and they go, well, Mary Jo, I'm shy. I says, well, that's a choice. And they look at me and they go, I've always been shy. I said, it's a choice. Is that remarkable to you that shy people are choosing it? It's a reality. And you go, well, blah, 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 blah. And it's always funny because I said, so when I dig deep enough and I go, so why do you want to be shy? And they're kind of, well, it kind of protects me. Oh, protects you from what? Well, what other people might say or do. I can, if I'm shy, I don't have to engage other people. I don't have to be a conversationalist. And I'm just going, oh, gosh, so how is that holding you back in life? Wow. The price we pay for choosing it. How do people, did you come out of the womb being shy? No, that's not your mindset when you're born. Your mindset is a blank sheet. So something happened to you in your first 3 to 5 years of life that triggered you to choose shy, mostly from self-protection. But then you claim it. You wear it like a badge of courage or something, even though you don't have a lot of courage, because the reason you're choosing to be shy is because you don't want to be wounded for some reason, because you're afraid of people might wound you, and so I can choose to be shy. I know this is out. Some of you are going, Mary Jo, this is crazy stuff. And I go, no, it's not. It's truth. But pursue it for yourself, because it's these kind of mindset choices that we make that hold us back. And we don't have to sit there and say, Mary, but I'm 45 years old or I'm 60 years old. And you go, so what? You know how angry I was with myself when I did all this discovery work in my late 30s? It was like, I was like, where have I been? I thought I was smart. This is not about stuff you get taught in school system, but so critical for us to be the best we can be. Our self-image is created inside of us, and then we reflect it in everything we say and do. So who manufactures the self-image? We do. And I love it when people say, well, Mary Jo, but you don't know what I've done. I go, oh, you can't get into self-forgiveness? Let's work on that. Do you think everybody out there that has a positive attitude is perfect and never did anything wrong? Excuse me. We make all these assumptions because it allows us to hide. Quit hiding. We want to be the best we can be. We want to walk on this planet and have the greatest impact and be an influencer. And some of you are going, no, Mary Jo, I really don't want to because I'm shy. Well, wait, because you're choosing to be shy. You have fear. Let's work on your fear. False expectations appearing real, right? So we got to examine that self-talk, self-dialogue, all that small talk. It's really huge talk, right? Because what it does is it affects our daily dialogue. It reinforces our most intimate beliefs and attitudes about ourselves. And we're our own gatekeeper. So acknowledging you're the gatekeeper of your mind, why aren't we replacing the seeds of doubt and lack and insignificant and not enough and good in, and I'm not good enough, I did this and I'm not worthy, and oh my gosh, the trash talk that goes on in our subconscious is overwhelming. Why not replace the trash with positivity and inspiration? Release the doubt. And the critical part of this is we have to be very cognizant of what you tell yourself, and that's part of the journaling process of uncovery, right? Uncover, discover, recover is what it is. It's a three-step process. That's how I teach and train it, because it's so important for us to reprogram that. And some of you are familiar with Noah St. John's book, and he talks about affirmations. That's a tool that he uses to discover and, you know, replace. He says, because what he's doing is he only asks positive statements of his subconscious. Why is it that I'm powerful beyond measure? Your subconscious will tell you. Even though you look at yourself as weak or shy or insignificant, when you start asking those questions, your subconscious will answer. Because your subconscious mind does not think through anything. It is a storage vault. I like to refer to it as your content vault, because that's terminology used so frequently in social media and, you know, building your content vault, and so you're posting blogs and all sorts of stuff. You build your content. That's very much what our subconscious mind is. Everything that ever happened to you, everything that happened to you in life is stored in your subconscious. All the meanings you gave it, bingo. So it just stores. It doesn't make it, your conscious mind is the one that does the reasoning. But when you have something stored inside of you, in your subconscious, that you accept it as a fact, when you ask yourself, well, am I going to be successful in Manatech? And your subconscious comes out and says no. And they'll start giving, you know, I mean, you're going to get responsiveness. So you have to ask questions about positivity. Why is it that I'm capable of doing anything I choose to do? Your subconscious can't argue with you. It can only answer your question with proof that's stored inside of your subconscious. That's how we work with the subconscious mind. So critical for us to reprogram that subconscious mind, right? Get rid of the trash and focus on the greatness within, because each one of us has greatness within. Formulating a winning perspective. When it comes to success, there are few things more valuable than perspective. We have things that happen to us around us, events, we talked about that. We store all these things. And we give them meanings to all these things. And just like Tony Robbins said, as I've been just teaching and training this morning, he says the same thing. Nothing in life has any meaning except the meaning that we give it. Incredible, if you think about that. We think the world gave it the meaning, or blah, 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 blah. You can overcome anything, anything. Just, what do I need to do? Reprogram the meaning that I gave it and come from a position of self-forgiveness, right? As I look at it from a Christian perspective, God forgives me of anything. So what makes me, if I'm created in the likeness of Him, incapable of forgiving myself? I suggest it's a flaw in your walk. The truth is that mindset has everything to do with perspective, right? Our foundational beliefs, attitude, biases naturally affect the way we process every bit of information and our experiences of the world around us. It also is so powerful because it has to do with, are you an optimist or a pessimist? People go, wow, I was born that way. No, you weren't. Stop it. You can never say that again after today's call, that you were born that way, because you weren't. When you came out of that womb, your subconscious was blank. It was like a chalkboard that had not one mark on it. And everything that you created yourself. You didn't necessarily do it to yourself, but you did in the fact that you accepted what somebody else told you. And, you know, when we're young, that's why most of this garbage gets put into us, input, when we're young, because we don't know any better. But if we don't take issue with it and start fighting it and recognizing, I was created to be unique and create the greatness that I choose. When we start taking that terminology and using that day in and day out and hour and discovery work, we'll find and we'll start dumping the stuff that was stored in there that has held you back. So we need to reestablish what are the foundational beliefs, attitude, biases that affect us and how we process information. Having that optimistic mindset is just a winning. Take, for instance, when I got involved with Manatech, what did I do? I never had done any of this type of business before in my life, ever. My first experience. I had no idea. I failed miserably the first 5 months. Did I quit? Did I make myself a loser? No. I just decided, okay, maybe it's a little bit of your arrogance, thinking that you're so smart, you can make this out. Maybe you ought to just open yourself up to really learn it. So I started going to courses and trainings. I remember Dr. Nisi Moore training I went to. It was huge impact. Learning things like people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Basic premise. That's just a reprogramming of us. Reprogramming. So it's a formula of building a winning perspective to achieve long-term success. When we learn how to live life by choice, in other words, we get to be a choice. I get to choose. When something happens to me, no matter where it is in life, no matter what happens, no matter what it is, my brother being shot and killed by his wife, blah, 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 I get to choose how I respond to it. But Mary Jo, the whole world would be devastated, and they'd be angry, and they'd hate her, and they would blah, blah, blah. And I said, that's the worldly. That might have been my immediate response, because naturally, when we suffer a loss, we go apoplectic, especially when it's so egregious. But we're at choice. And when you start weighing the cost and benefits of carrying unforgiveness towards somebody moving forward, why do you want to have poison in your life? I always talk to people about it from a perspective, we carry unforgiveness because we want to be right. When my sister-in-law shot and killed my brother, who I loved, he was like Jesus walking on earth, you know, went to seminary. I mean, he was just an incredible guy. Two beautiful kids. And I was angry as all get out. I hated her so much I couldn't stand it. I was really mad at God, first and foremost. Why he allowed it to happen was beyond my wildest. But that's not for me to know. But I knew within 24 hours that if I carried that unforgiveness, it would be poison in my life. Now I'm doubling down on my loss. I'm doubling down on it. I'm making it all that much worse. And I'm at choice whether I forgive her or not. And so I chose to forgive her. And I also did it because I had two kids that I was going to raise that just lost both their parents. And so I'm standing in this position of saying, what benefit do I give them by carrying unforgiveness? I'm going to poison them. Because your poison doesn't just stay in you. It spills out. You start impacting other people. It robs us of spirit and joy and everything else around us. Bad things happen to good people. But the most important aspect is how do you respond? And you're at choice. So how do I maintain that optimistic mindset? So allow life to go on and life to progress in a way. And if, you know, and I think I read to you guys the message I got from my nephew at Mother's Day, and it blew me away. But the impact we can have when we choose differently is so great. And some of you are going, well, Mary Jo, I'm too old, or I'm too this, or I'm too... No. You start today. Mindset, start today. Start today. Work on the conversion. The question is, do you want to live in joy and happiness and the rest of your life, or do you want to be miserable? Do you want to have all these negativity? You want to keep carrying that, I call it a backpack of rocks that's burdening you the rest of your life? Well, it's too late for me. No, it's not. Today's the first day of the rest of your life. Harnessing drive. Drive is a determination we have to achieve an objective, typically based on the importance of that objective to our plan, right? So if we don't have drive, a lot of us go, okay, I'm going to do this, or I'm going to strike, this is what I'm going to do, and this is what I'm going to do in my business today, and I've chosen, and then we talk ourselves out of it. There's that subconscious negative thinking coming through. I can't do it, blah, 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 blah. Right? It's drive is intricately tied to your mindset. I choose to be successful no matter, here's the language, no matter what. If you look at all the successful people in the world, what do you think they do? They control their mindset. They don't allow self-doubt to enter in. They don't allow excuses to arise. They don't become supreme procrastinators. What they choose to do today, what they choose to do today, and they get it done. There are all these habits that develop because our mindset allows them to do. So we need to harness that inner drive in us to have a steely focus on getting done what we choose to do. I believe if people in this company would have this, every single one of you on this call, every single associate in the field would be in Achievers Club every single month. But not. When the Achievers Club came out, I said to myself, I will never miss a month not being in the Achievers Club. And some of you are going, well, Mary Jo, how do you control whether you sign somebody up? I said, because it's totally dependent on the activities I partake of in the 30-day period. If I'm out sharing with people, I know I will sign people up, just like you know. And you go, well, I've tried that. No, try. Get rid of the word try in your vocabulary. It's a disgusting word. It doesn't even belong in our vocabulary. I don't want anyone to try anything. I want you to do it. I choose to do this. Try just gives you, that's what try is. It's a weak word that gives you the opportunity not to accomplish something because you only committed to try. Kick off every month. Today's June 1st. I will make a commitment right now on how many you're going to sign up this month and watch how the universe supports you. But you also need to invoke the activities in your life to create that result. Because I know every single one of you can do it. When I work with brand new associates, this is how I start them. I don't want you to try to do anything. I want you to accomplish it. I want you to do it. So choose it. What are you going to create this month? What are you going to create? Mindset. Drive starts with the ability to have steely focus and a firm commitment. When you're committed to doing something, totally all in, you go, well, what does that look like, Mary Jo? I said, okay, so I'll say, and this isn't what I do. When I commit to something, I make it happen. It's just part of who I am. It's my nature and my beingness. So you choose that as well. Once you start lying to yourself and you make your commitment be mealy-wheely and wiggle room and all the other things we toss into it and we keep coming up with excuses, you're on a road of self-destruction. Make a commitment and make it happen. You'll be unbelievably surprised at the results you create. Because once you commit it and you put your steely focus on it, guess what? Nothing can stop you. But watch those little, that subconscious keep giving you all that information of why not. Well, your mother always told you you were a loser, or your dad beat you up all the time, or you weren't successful. You bring stuff from the past. Oh, I failed at this and I failed at this, so clearly I'm going to fail at this. Why? Choose not to fail. Your past doesn't control your future unless you give it the power to do that. time to choose. It's time to get rid of that comfort zone that we like. Well, but it's uncomfortable to go out there and talk to people. Well, then fall in love with being uncomfortable. That's all I got to say. I mean, if you think that being a lawyer all those years and vice president, general counsel, a multi-billion dollar company and all the history that I have, stepping into network marketing wasn't a little bit uncomfortable for me. I had people tell me, Mary Jo, this is beneath you. What do you mean beneath me? It's a phenomenal activity. It's touching lives in a significant way. It's helping people build residual income streams. It's helping people have greater health. This is more admirable probably than most of the things I did at the highest levels I was doing them. And you go, wow, that's a real new perspective, Mary Jo. It's a choice of perspective. Your perspective is your choice. So choose a perspective that serves you and dispose of the ones that aren't supporting you. Overcoming adversity, no matter what goal you seek to achieve, the path to virtually any and all of our success will include some adversity. Does everybody agree? Absolutely. So in order to get through it, we need to have what? A convicted mindset. Once again, going back to our convictions will carry us through. We need to learn how to face any challenge that comes up in our life dead on. Don't hide from it, run from it, put it off. Oh, my gosh. That word procrastination, I want you to rid it of your vocabulary. Non-existent. Adversity tests one's mettle to the core. Fall in love with adversity. I love when adversity hits me, I look at adversity as an opportunity for me to grow, to be better than I was before the adversity struck. Because how am I going to come out of it on the other side is going to make me a better person. Is that true about adversity in your life? Undoubtedly, this is true about my path with my brother's death. There's no doubt I became a better person on the other side. Raising those two kids, sending them off to college, getting them married. Now I have two great nephews. These kids are unbelievable kids. Adversity helped me be a better person, a better person. No matter what is not the state of mind, rather settling, right? People settle. Quit settling. Take on no matter what. I love the statement, knock down six times, get up seven. Doesn't matter. No one can rob. No one can steal from me because I'm at choice on what's in my mindset. Does this make sense? So no matter what somebody says to me, and I've had people tell me, some of you will go, well, Mary Jo, everything would ever beat up on you or tell you what, oh my gosh. I had in one of my seminars, I had this group of people that said they didn't believe me, blah, 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 and I'm sitting there going, I don't lie. I never, this is all this, how come they didn't believe? And I was so angry, and I called my support team an attack team because they were attacking me, and I was, like, defensive, and I thought, and I had to go journal that night, and I was writing about it, and I said, why are you defensive? This is called feedback. Find the value in it. And you know what I found? Probably one of the greatest discoveries in my life. One of. I have many, right? Our self-discoveries are many. But what I found in when these people didn't believe what I said when I got up to speak for 5 minutes and tell the most disastrous thing that happened to me as a child, and I got to talk about that, and they didn't, and they their response to me, their feedback, it was a feedback arc, and they said they didn't believe me. I was like, I was frustrated. Why don't you believe me? I'm honest. This is truth. And I was really angry with them. And I called them. And I was journaling that night. And I'm journaling and journaling going, what is it that, why do they not believe me? Blah, blah, blah. And I was like going, wow, Mary Jo, you're still lawyering. I'm still lawyering. In other words, I was still what? I was still that hotshot lawyer I was for years, the vice president of counsel, a big, huge law firm. It was my communication style that was preventing people. It wasn't that I wasn't telling the truth. It was my communication style. It was one of the most eye-opening experiences of my life. And here I was being offended and calling them attack group, instead of my support group, when they gave me some of the best information I had received for the first 30-some years of my life. So I learned how to shift my communication so people would find me credible. Do you think that was important in doing this business? Amen. Right. So achieving the underlying goal, goal setting is crucial. Of course, we have to set goals. I mean, if you don't have a direction, if you don't know where you're going, you're never going to get there. So your mindset needs to have some directive inside of it. You want to, we form a roadmap around the goal that we set. So it's all about understanding that. Some people who don't set goals, you know, what do they create? By whim and a wish and a happenstance? Set a goal. Some of you give up on goals because, oh, I didn't. Well, it's the goal wasn't the problem. Where was the problem? You, your mindset was the problem, not the goal. Are you going to dig deep enough to go through the hardships and to succeed, or you're just going to wave the white flag, claim defeat? It's a choice. We make that choice virtually every day. On little things, and you know what? The little things add up to be big things. So quit doing it even in the little things. Quit being dismissive. Whenever you have your brain go, oh, you don't really have to do that today, tell it to shut up, if you want to use that terminology, or tell it to be quiet, whatever works for you, but knock it out. Don't listen to it. You know you wanted to get it done. Get it done. Just do it. There's that Nike phrase. Just do it. Don't let the mindset. It's that negative programming tackling you. So are you ready to command your results? If so, make a conscious decision to master your mindset and reach for greater success in this year and beyond, right? Number one thing. Okay, people, hope you enjoyed it. Any feedback? Did I hit any, like, nerves on anybody today? Did they all hang up on me? Oh, Lydia says they're very quiet. What?
No, excellent. Expand that cover.
Got it?
Expanding the cover.
Yeah. I mean,
thank you so much. Also, Mary Jo.
Yeah.
Hi, this is Silence. I think you hit it right on the head, and we had to do this mindset thing the whole way, and even now different states are still have more restrictions than other states, and even now just to realize that, okay, we can't get out and do our business necessarily the way we're used to doing it, especially if we like the one-on-one and meeting with people and gatherings.
Sure.
And stuff like that. But, you know, I mean, people are looking for income, they're looking, you know, so just shift the mindset. They're looking for income, they're looking for products, you know. I mean, unfortunately, they're threatening us and saying this is not over. So, you know, we still need to be talking about,
right
now, you know, the immune system, and it's important because, you know, whether it's the coronavirus or cold or pneumonia or whatever it is, you know, people will die anyway, you know. So
right. It doesn't matter what it is. People are there. And
yeah.
I look at it. Silence, you're hitting a home run ball here. The first month of this, which was really kind of where it was heightened, was really in April. I had 12 signups in 1 month. I haven't seen that in 10 years in myself personally. Do you guys get this?
Great.
It's purely a choice.
Yeah.
I looked at the coronavirus, people get devastated. I looked at it. This is a phenomenal opportunity for us in Manatech.
That's right.
It's just a choice. Are you guys getting, you know, Silence is hitting this right on the head. It's just how you choose to look at it. But it's your choice. Your subconscious mind can take you any path you want it to go. But, you know, the coronavirus, you know, to me, it was like, wow. And I looked at it. I even had a conversation with Al and the senior executive officer. I said, this is the greatest opportunity we're going to have in a long time. And a viewpoint of how we tackle it. How do we go after it? And it's not taking advantage of people. It's helping people. I didn't go out there and sell people 22 bottles of ImmunoStart. I just said, hey, here's the three top products I'm suggesting right now in this time, in this moment for your life. 12 people later. And my organization, we had like, I don't know, 80 signups. I hadn't seen that in my organization in 10 years for a month.
Yeah.
It's been a long time.
I had people calling me that used to order the products 5 years ago, 8 years ago. I had several people calling me that used to be associates, but they really aren't ready to build yet. So they signed up as a customer.
Sure. Right. Yeah. That's great. And we love them. We love them customers. No, watch our judgment on that. How many of you get all judged out about whether somebody wants to be just a consumer? I mean, come on. Whoa. Again, mindset, right? Everybody got this? Great. All right, you guys, I got to run. I got to put a video together. So love you. Take this.
Thank you, Mary Jo.
Information and really start looking at your life. But it takes a focus, right? And I'll even send out some information because I actually have a course on this. I do an 8-week course called Kryptonite Breakthrough, which helps people bust through mindset limitations. And I've been teaching that for almost 2 years now, and I love it. And I give everybody 100% money-back guarantee. You know why? Because it's not about them. It's about, I just want to impact your life. If you don't feel this moved you forward, I'll write you a check, right? So it's so important for us to tackle these limitations because your life will be all by chance and circumstance if you don't tackle that mindset. What's going on in that subconscious is so critical. So, okay, everybody, great. Have a great week. Kick off June
thank
with
you.
Us. Amen
you
to that.
You,
kick off
thank
June
you,
with
Joe.
A big area. Okay, everybody.
Thank you.
God bless you. Bye.
Bye, Mary Jo.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.